This has been produced by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Let's continue on now. Obviously, I will only be able to read certain things out of the book. The book is so loaded that when I read, I mark, I underline. If it's important, I put a star next to it. If it's really important, I put two stars. If it's really, really, really important, I put two stars, an exclamation point. And if it's burning the page, I have more than that. But this is coming. See, the way that we are going to be brought down and a stranger come over us, it's already happening. Let me, before we get back into the book, let me say something concerning what appears to be a good stock market. It is not. It is foreigners bringing dollars into America to buy assets in exchange for what they know are going to be worthless pieces of paper down the road in a not too far distant future. Dubai is consummating a deal to buy a 20% share of the New York Stock Exchange. Foreign governments and corporations, multinational corporations, are coming in and buying stocks in corporations. And all of this has held down the price of gold and silver. But the day is going to come when gold and silver price is going to explode. And you need to think very deeply. If you have more than $10,000 cash in the bank, you need to think about, are you willing to leave it in there and lose another 8% purchasing value next year, which it lost 8% this year? So if you earn 5% interest, you've lost 3%. Now, granted, you don't get interest on gold and silver coins, but you have to hold them. And in holding them, they will grow in value, and you keep them, those who are wise, will keep them until the amero is issued. And you will get something back for your money. Now, Phil Ligon was telling me about Heidi's folks in Germany who are on a German pension, and they were making on a German pension 100 marks a month. Is that correct? Okay, well, we'll just say 100 marks a month. When the euro came in, they received the equivalent of 40 marks per month, a 60% devaluation of the mark. In this book, they talk about a one-for-one exchange. Never happen. We'll talk about the Amero here in just a little bit. Chapter 1, Forming the North American Union. Incrementalism has proven to be a highly effective way of implementing social and political change. Then it talks about how the leaders of Europe did this. Slowly, almost imperceptibly, sacrificing national sovereignty for the concept of a European Union, and that was within the 50 years from 40 to 90. And what happens within the 50-year period? When you're training all the children to think the way that you want them to think, in 50 years, they are going to be the majority, and in 50 years, all of the older folks who would resist it have passed from the scene. Now, great uproar came with the immigration bill in Congress, and everyone was happy. Yay, we defeated it. No, you just delayed it. And so now you see what they're doing in Congress incrementally, bringing bits and parts of it at a time. And everyone is so busy working hard to make a living, so active in this pursuits of pleasure. They'll get it through. because that's their plan and purpose, you see. When people go to sleep spiritually and turn their backs on God, Satan's political operatives work stealthily, step by step by step by step. The North America has its own version of the European Common Market in NAFTA, and in the SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership, put into place by an informal agreement. See, if you have an informal agreement, you don't have a treaty. So Bush can say, of course not. Informal agreement between Mexico, Canada, and the United States in 2005. A North American union is even advocated by Americans' own version of Jean Monnet, Professor Robert Pastor, and you can read about it here in this book when you get it, who proposed a North American currency called the Amero, and who has played a significant role in a number of meetings and conferences closed to the public between American, Canadian, and Mexican officials. On September 5th and 6th, 2001, just a few days before 9/11 terrorist attack, President Fox traveled to Washington, D.C. for a state visit at the White House. This visit got off to a rocky start, however, when President Fox issued a challenge to President Bush to develop a plan for legalizing all Mexicans in the United States by year's end. In making this suggestion, Fox was pushing an amnesty, a politically unpopular idea that no American president could openly support. In the private meeting, the two leaders hit upon a prosperity theme to present to the public as a public summary of their discussions. Who is the power behind the throne on all of these? Now, it's very interesting. I got a letter from a man who said, well, do you believe there is a conspiracy? I said, of course. And, of course, the way that the media and everybody handles it is, oh, conspiracy nuts! Well, who's the god of this world? Satan. He's deceiving the world, isn't he? How does he do it? By conspiracy. Who does he use? People. The rich, the intelligent, those within the establishment. And I wrote the man back and said, well, I said, all you have to do is just look around and observe, and you'll see, yes, there is a conspiracy. Yes, there are the Illuminati. Yes, there is a Committee of 300. Yes, there's a Council of Foreign Relations. Yes, there are the equal things that you have in all countries of the world to that. Yes, there is a conspiracy of the bankers. Yes, there is a conspiracy of the multinational corporations. All of those are part of it because that's Satan's reward for serving him. Council on Foreign Relations takes the center stage, and they were the ones beginning with President Woodrow Wilson for the League of Nations. Well, that failed. So then with the Rockefellers now behind the helm, they started the United Nations. And isn't it interesting, during the week of the Feast of Tabernacles, all the leaders of the world are coming to the United Nations and saying, well, we're here because we need to have a better government worldwide, all the nations working together. And at the same time, the people of God are keeping the Feast of Tabernacles to learn how to really rule the world, right? See, so you are in a seminar of subversives. And Christ is the one who's going to bring it about. See? Developments in the regional direction led to the diminishing of national sovereignty of all parties. On October 17, 2001, the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, held a roundtable meeting. This was after September 11th, in Atlanta, Georgia, under the title, The Future of North American Integration in the Wake of the Terrorist Attacks. See, the CFR was formed in 1921. And now with this, it continues today to press for the United States to accept international solutions, including the promotion of a Western Hemisphere of North American regional integration as a necessary successor to NAFTA. Consistently, the CFR has had an impact on the language and thought around which the U.S. foreign policy is formed. Every single one in the State Department of the United States are part of the CFR or their sister organizations. And at the roundtable in Atlanta, they stressed, quote, the deepening of NAFTA means coordination or harmonization of policies, thinking continually for transportation and infrastructure which would facilitate economic cooperation and integration. As I mentioned the other day, the tribunal for transportation between Mexican truckers and trucks coming into America overrode the Congress of the United States by saying, since you've signed the treaty with NAFTA, you must let the Mexican truck drivers come into the United States. So when they get all of these things together, they already have it planned for a legislature, a judiciary system. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. On October 15, 2004, the CFR created an independent tax task force on the future tax. That's probably more true than anything else, yes, of North America. And March 2005, the CFR task force issued its first report, a chairman's summary entitled, Creating a North American Community, Not Union. All right, to build, quote, here's what it says, to build on the advances of the past decade and to craft an agenda for the future. Notice the words that they use, kind of innocuous and you don't think too much about them. We propose the creation by 2010 of a community to enhance security, prosperity, and opportunity for all North Americans. They are calling for a union of them. Again, quote from the CFR, we focus our recommendations on the creation of a single economic space that expands the economic opportunities for all people in the regions, the establishment of a security zone that protects the region from all external threats while facilitating the legitimate passage of goods and people and capital. So here's what they recommend. One, adopt a common North American external tariff by harmonizing tariffs in the lowest possible rate between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Two, to develop a North American border pass with biometric identifiers to expedite passage through customs, immigration, and airport security throughout North America. Three, to establish a North American investment fund to stimulate infrastructure development in Mexico. Taxpayers are going to pay for it. Now, as I read some of these things, I want you to think about Hillary Billery's theme. We need a change. Does she ever identify the change. Could it be this? Waco Declaration. And here's what they came up with. To implement the Security and Prosperity Partnership, SPP, the three leaders decided that bureaucrats from the three nations would create working groups off on the side, unreportable, not coming before the public, not coming before the Congress. Working groups. What are you doing? Oh, we're just working. What are you working on? Oh, how we can get along better. How we can make more money. Don't you want us to be prosperous? How we can have mutual security. Don't you want to be secure? Incremental stealth. The task of integrating and harmonizing the administrative law and regulatory structures of the three nations in a broad range of public policy areas. Working groups is a term commonly used in the European Union to describe bureaucratic entities that run the EU from behind closed doors in Brussels and Luxembourg. Who are they in the United States? Well, here we go. He named them, not me. When the working groups were constituted, cabinet-level officers in each government were assigned to oversee their work. In the United States, the cabinet members were Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff, Secretary of Commerce Carlos Gutierrez, and then it lists all of them out of Canada and Mexico. Also showcased for the first time, incrementalism was a new logo. A stylized map of North America against a blue-black background with words Security Prosperity Partnership of North America written across the center. Oh, isn't that beautiful? The logo displayed no distinct borders between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. The logo emphasized a circle drawn around North America, calling attention to the continental vision. The new logo quickly became the official logo of the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America and will probably be a new flag. This is how the stranger is going to rise over us, very high above us. So Council on Foreign Relations advises SPP. Who do they get their marching orders from? Who is the government? Not the ones you elect. CFR. You know what happens to politicians when they're voted out of office? They join think tanks. You ever heard of a think tank? That's a cesspool where they cram them in to fill their minds full of garbage. No, a think tank is a place where men and women get together to plan for the coming world government of the beast, of which the North American Union is one part, of which the European Union is one part. And they have other parts that they need to put together. So when it says that the stranger is going to get high above you, it means exactly that. And you will be brought low. That means the Anglo-Saxons of Britain and America. So they put out, toward a North American community, In their meeting in Waco, Texas, by the end of March 2005, U.S. President George W. Bush, Mexican President Vicente Fox, and Prime Minister of Canada, Paul Martin, committed their government to a path of cooperation and joint action. We welcome the important development and offer this report to add urgency and specific recommendations to strengthen our efforts. To do what? Bring them together. The CFR Task Force then openly volunteered their willingness to advise the SPP. Oh, what wonderful people! In March 2005, the leaders of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, this is from the CFR website, adopted the SPP of North America, establishing ministerial-level working groups. What are ministerial levels? It's not a council of preachers. These are cabinet members of the government working directly against the sovereignty of all three nations while in the government. Working groups to address key security and economic issues facing North America and setting a short deadline for reporting back to their governments. President Bush described the significance of the SPP as putting forward a common commitment to markets and democracy and freedom and trade and mutual prosperity and security. Oh, that's wonderful. But what does democracy mean? You know, the Soviet Union always had democracy under Stalin. You realize that, don't you? That was their version of democracy. The policy framework articulated by the three leaders is a significant commitment that will benefit from broad discussion and advice. The task force is pleased to provide specific advice on how the partnership can be pursued and realized. Pursuing what? North American Union. Realized means bringing it to fruition. In 2010, so by 2010, only borders or tariffs remaining in North America will be those around the shoreline of the continents, not those between the countries. Its North American community borders will be defined by a common external tariff. See, you don't say we're redefining the borders of America, Mexico, and Canada. You say our joint efforts and economic teamwork together so that we can have everything working together. We defined these borders for the purpose of tariff and pricing. Oh. Within which the movement of people, products, and capital will be legal. By what agreement? Orderly. By whose oversight? And safe. Its goal will be to guarantee a free, secure, just, and prosperous North America. Then it talks about Robert Pasteur, and he's the driving force behind it. And here's what he has proposed. Creation of a North American Commission. Next step. Creation of a North American Parliamentary Group, which they take young college students by invitees. And they have them come and practice the parliamentary procedures of a North American parliamentary group. A permanent North American court on trade and investment. So you start out with trade and investment, then what do you also have to end up with at the same time when you have a court? Law breaking. Now, once you get this in place, we can go through North America students trained for merger. That's what I just covered. Senator Cornyn advances pastor's plan. Everyone here in Texas voted for Senator Cornyn because he was a good conservative senator, right? Yes. So he's had to back away from some of these things because some people are getting wise to what he's doing. But you see, what is eventually going to happen is this. It will come into place. He talks in here how you can facilitate change by crises. Look how much has been changed since 9/11. Precipitated by the crises. This is satanic. This is brilliant. This is God's punishment. To bring the stranger and the investors of the world's rich to come into America, to build the roads from north to south, east to west, owned by investment of privatization, to where those companies can charge tolls for Americans going on highways in their own country. And yes, you must have the proper identification. And that's getting very high above us. This main one here in Texas coming through, who's going to own that? An investment group coming out of the Bank of Spain. They're going to widen and broaden the Suez Canal so bigger, bigger ships can come in, so the Chinese can bring their goods and funnel them straight up the gut of America. Coming through the ports of Houston and New Orleans. And all of this is going to come about, and what's going to happen? And it's going to happen because we've forgotten God. As a people, we've turned our back on God. As a nation, we've kicked God out of our lives, out of our homes, out of our schools, out of our churches, out of our government. Poor little Judge Roy Moore down there trying to get a hunk of stone with the Ten Commandments on it approved, and the Supreme Court rejecting it. You think those people want to uphold the sovereignty of the United States? No. They look to foreign judiciary now to help make decisions for the United States. But when all of this comes together, what you are going to see is the total demise of America and its constitution and its laws by the implementation of laws from the top down through the regional government of the North American Union and its presidente and its parliament and its courts. Constitution of the United States of America will become null and void. They won't have to change it. They will simply override it. Which means you lose freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to bear arms. Gone. You can't say the Second Amendment. Nope, 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 nope. Government signed a treaty. The treaty is over the law and sovereignty of America. This is no longer the United States. You are part of North America. This is a new union. A new day. Owned and operated by all of the creditor nations which held our dollars. And I think the crisis that's going to bring it in and how soon it will come, I don't know, but the collapse of the dollar was just avoided this fall. How long can they keep it floating? Don't know. But is their intent to collapse the dollar at the moment that they want to so they can bring in the Amero. Just think, all of us used to money, lots of money, buying this, buying that, credit cards here, there, and everywhere, and all of a sudden the dollar is declared bankrupt. You can't buy, you can't sell, your money's worthless. If you have a chance, go on History Channel and watch what happened with the Weimar Republic before Hitler came into power. And it took a billion marks to buy a loaf of bread. And the mark was dropping so fast in value that they had to let the workers leave at 10, at 12, at 2, and at 4 to run home with the money and give it to their wives to run down to buy the food at the store before the price went up that afternoon. What did that crisis precipitate? Adolf came and took over. What was the first thing he did? Installed a new currency and said it is backed by the energy and labor of the German people. Solved all of the economic problems overnight, told all the parties of the reparation of the Versailles Treaty, take a hike, you're not getting a penny. That's why he was such a hero. Little did they know that this was a crisis to bring about a change, and then incrementalism by stealth to lead them to war. So you see, Satan never changes. Those high in the government of the United States and Canada and Mexico have committed treason by doing these things. But greater yet, it is the punishment of God against this nation for its sins. And remember where we started. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. So don't blame them. Look at every American that there is and sprinkle the blame on all of them. Because God is doing this to all of them. And they are only the instrumentalities to bring it about. And are so deluded themselves that they think they're actually doing good. So whoever thought that there would be the late Great Britain, which would be enslaved in its own land, and the late great USA enslaved in its own land, and the invasion accomplished beginning with economics, and then the political change, and then the tyranny, and then the captivity. But that's probably the way it's going to come. I think the die is cast, and there's no turning it back. And there will not be the repentance that I described earlier that's necessary. However, out of all of it, individuals can repent and turn to God. Individuals can come to God and seek forgiveness and dedicate themselves to God, bury their sins in the watery grave of baptism and walk in the way of God. And it's going to be a tough walk because you're probably going to give your life. But you're going to give your life one way or the other. You're going to give your life to God or you're going to give it to the enemy. One of the two. Those are the choices that we are confronted with today as a nation.